And women's cricket is making its spectacular debut at the Commonwealth Games with T20 cricket at Edgbaston, the home of Warwickshire cricket. The White Ferns are currently undefeated after two matches, winning by 13 runs against South Africa. That was an important one. And then coasting home against Sri Lanka in their second match. One person back home watching from New Zealand with great interest is Frankie Mackay, of course, a White Fern in her own right, and left out of the current contract squad, etc. So we've heard from Frankie on that basis, but now I think it's a chance to look forward and certainly cast an eye on what's going on overseas. The other good news for Frankie in terms of what's coming up for her is she is SENZ's new Canterbury Sports Breakfast host that starts up this Saturday morning from 7 o'clock in the morning. So I guess it's a very welcome and warm welcome to Frankie to the family.
Oh, thank you very much, Smithy. I'll be having to pick your brains on a few tips and tricks to get me through those mornings, but really looking forward to it.
It's getting up early, 7 o'clock, so you'll be probably starting your research about, what, like 5?
Yeah, we'll be in nice and early. Everyone loves that on a Saturday morning, don't they? So, yeah, there'll be some early alarm set. But, I mean, at least at the moment I've got the Comm games to get up to and keep me going. So, yeah, it'll be a couple of chilly Christchurch mornings throughout the winter, but nah, looking forward to it. Should be good. And of course, how nice to speak to some Canterbury superstars about what they're doing in the sports world. And I'm sure there'll be no shortage of stories to talk about as well from the Canterbury crew.
And no shortage of Canterbury people wanting to talk about their exploits either, I would imagine. So, as you want to do down there. Look, let's look at the cricket, shall we, before we get a little bit deeper into your show this weekend. Standard of cricket being played in the Comm games. Are you happy with it overall?
Yeah, I've liked it. I've really enjoyed it, actually. I think maybe the boundaries are a little small, but that's a different issue entirely. I think it's just a cool opportunity to try and reach out to some fans who perhaps haven't been engaged in cricket and women's cricket before, and I think the teams have been doing a good job so far. I've liked what I've seen. I will say I don't think Australia, as of yet, are quite firing on all cylinders, which has been interesting to see. It's not often you see them turn up to a world tournament a little bit below their best, and I'm sure the other teams are licking their lips at a chance to actually get one over them. So, yeah, I'm liking what I'm seeing. I'm especially liking the fact that New Zealand's gone 2-from-2 and have already got themselves a short of a semi-final place with one game in hand.
Are you liking what you see in terms of the support? The numbers seem to be pretty cool. It maybe tends to illustrate it's been a long time coming, this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's really good to see. I'm encouraged as well. I thought that perhaps there was going to be a little bit of an issue with Barbados being one of the teams coming in. Obviously, the West Indies couldn't go and play as their whole team. I was a little intrigued as to how that would go, and they've had a couple of games that obviously haven't gone to plan, and I think when you take that depth away, once you lose a couple of key wickets up top, it's hard for what is essentially a domestic team to be competing. But they showed in their opening match that when it all clicks, they're good enough to put a performance out there and get a win on the board. So, yeah, I've liked it. I've liked the depth. I've liked to see a few new names. I think a lot of the sides around the world have really looked towards youth. It hasn't just been New Zealand that's done that. There's a couple of youngsters in the English setup as well that are teenagers making their debut, and they're all looking like they've been playing international cricket for 10 years. So, yeah, it's really pleasing to see for the sport in general. And hopefully having it on the world stage, it does mean that more people are exposed to it. They see that it's a sport they want to get involved in. Some young girls think that's a career they want to get into. They want a medal around their neck, and hopefully this continues to grow the game.
We spoke with former Black Stick Sam Charlton yesterday, and she admitted on the back of the way that her former team are playing, she was missing the action a little bit watching it from home. What about yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I can't lie about that in the slightest, even from when the girls over there, they went to the opening ceremony and all the photos and videos that have been floating around of that on social media. It has been a little tough at times to, you know, wake up, have a look at your phone, look at the news and see these beaming smiles coming back from you from a group of people that you're really close to. So, yeah, I mean, I'm thrilled for them having the time of their lives and winning cricket games as well. It's awesome to see. But, yeah, there's definitely a massive, massive chunk of jealousy that runs alongside it. I mean, the whole contracting stuff, that happened close enough to the Comm games that you had been sitting at home, you know, starting to dream of what it would be like and the opportunity to get up there and win a medal and perhaps end up with a gold medal and singing the national anthem and all that stuff. I mean, I think every young sporty kid, when they're growing up, you dream about what it's like, Olympics, Com Games, that kind of thing. So, yeah, to know that you've missed out, and I guess the next Com Games being 4 years away, I'm pretty confident I won't still be playing at that stage. So it felt like a one-and-done chance to have a crack at it, and to miss out is really disappointing. But on the back of Home World Cup, I mean, I said it to lots of people and interviewed about it lots. I think that team was heading in a really good direction. That was the probably happiest and healthiest I'd seen that White Ferns team over the last decade. So it just felt like success was right around the corner. It felt as though we were going to be successful in that Home World Cup. Unfortunately, wasn't to be, but it really just had that feeling that it wasn't if, but when this team was going to find success for doing a lot of the right things off the field. And I think now's the time that they really can have a good crack at it. And then, of course, there's T20 World Cup at the start of next year as well. So, yeah, I think everything's tracking really well for that side. And, of course, you'd love to be part of it, but, you know, they're also some of your best friends. So also very happy to sit on the sidelines and clap and cheer for them when it's all going well.
Well, that includes Susie Bates, of course, Frankie, who became the first player, mayoral or female, to score 3,500 runs in T20 international cricket. Susie Bates just continues on an amazing career. And, of course, we rely on her, of course, Sophie Devine, so much at the top of the order.
Yeah, massively. She's been a huge part of this New Zealand team for so long now, and she's just a great human being to go along with it. I think the thing that I love about Susie is she's just never lost the enthusiasm for training, for doing the hard work. She's the first person in the net, last person out. She's now got a rival in that, Nellie Kerr. It's a battle to see, you know, who can be in the net for the longest and who can get coaches and net bowlers complaining about how much work they've got to get through when those two are into it. But I think that's the thing with Susie is all the work that she puts in and then the success she has from it. Everyone's just rapt for her. She went away. She had her shoulder operation, which was kind of first major injury last year. And then to come back and come back the way she did through our domestic competition, everyone was just thrilled because that's the person that Susie is. You know, she gives so much to this group and to see her be successful is what everyone wants. And it also means that team is successful, as you mentioned. You know, have Susie and Sophie at the top of the order, I think it's a great partnership. When they're getting you off to a good start straight away, you feel like you're ahead of the game. And looking at our top three, I think, in Susie Bates, Sophie Devine and Nellie Kerr, arguably it's one of the strongest top threes in the competition. And if they can continue to churn out runs, then you are going to see success from that side. Runs has probably been the one thing over the last few years that has let the New Zealand side down. There was a little wobble the other night, lost a couple of wickets quickly, but I think really reassuringly there was a couple of good innings played through that middle order. Brooke Halliday just looked calm and steadied the ship, and a little runnable 20. Leah Tahu, who came in, put the absolute icing on the cake with 20, I think, of 8 balls. And even really good to see Izzy Gaze, first time batting in international cricket, you know, came in, really nice partnership with Brooke, ran hard, looked to do things slightly differently, didn't look overawed by the situation. So I think when you've got Susie and Sophie firing up top, and then you've got some runs coming from that middle order as well, then team's in a really good spot.
Leah Tahu, who of course got a stay of execution, I guess you could call it, recalled back into the squad, as you said, and it looks like she's relishing the opportunity. So her spark didn't completely go when she got the bad news about the contract side of things, clearly.
No, absolutely not. She was pretty motivated to prove everyone wrong, I guess. She's a pretty competitive sort. People that have played, you know, with her against Leah know that absolutely she's not one to take a backward step. So, yeah, it was really, really refreshing when she had the contracting news. You're always worried as to how players are going to take it and what that's going to look like, but she was very quickly, you know, we're on the phone to each other, and she was very quickly talking about she was going to have more opportunity to play domestic cricket if she wasn't playing internationally. She wanted to win a couple of titles for Canterbury, and she was basically, everything was just about performing really well, winning games and trying to get back in that New Zealand fold. So it probably happened a little bit quicker than she thought it would with some unfortunate injuries and players being unavailable. But I think you know what you get with Leah. She is a wonderful athlete and I think just perfect for T20 cricket as well. She's, I think, the fastest over 20 metres in that side, bowls the fastest and hits the ball the furthest. So when you've got players in your team that can do that, I think it's a little bit of a no-brainer to have them involved. So as much as, you know, absolutely devastated for Jess Kerr to miss out and for Lauren Down to have to make herself unavailable, I think it's just exciting for Leah. I think she adds another dimension to that team. So really, yeah, really chuffed for her. It's one of those things, you know, you love to see your teammates doing well, and there's probably a little bit of added pressure that she feels after missing out on that contract and to be called up at the last minute and get in that side, just feel a little bit of you need to perform, you need to show people you deserve to be there, and she's just, you know, marched straight into that, taking it on head on, and yeah, I've loved to see it.
What about the youngsters? And I talk about a couple of players, I guess, that are fulfilling the role that you wanted to do. So it's not an easy question to ask. But I look at the youngsters. I thought Fran Jonas was totally out of her depth at World Cup 50 over level. I look at Eden Carson, which was nice the other night to get her first couple of wickets. Izzy Gaze, who I thought was okay with the gloves, but it's got a serious amount of work to do to get up to international standard, and that's just the wicketkeeper and me. Do you think they, in all honesty, are they going to cope with England? I look at those young faces up against Australia who are basically unchanged from the World Cup, and I think, really? Are they going to get stuck in the headlights there, do you think?
Look, it's a massive step up, no doubt about it, and I think that goes from anyone who's making the step up from domestic cricket in New Zealand. Unfortunately, to the international level, it is a huge gap at the moment. And that's something that they're going to try and work on with New Zealand A series and trying to create a North-South series to get a little bit more cricket for our, I guess, players that are looking to get up to that international level. So that's something in itself. But, yeah, I think there's kind of two ways of looking at it. There's the moment that, you know, maybe you have a little bit of a deer in the headlights type of situation when you get thrown into things you've never done before. It's a big moment. It's a pressure moment. Fran absolutely would have learned from that, you know, playing first home World Cup and, you know, just copping a bit of flack and stuff as well around selection. And, of course, Lee Casbrook wasn't selected for that. So both her and I copped our fair share of really polite, nice messages that people tend to send you on social media. And to be dealing with that at 17, I think that's a little tricky in itself. So yeah, I think that she would have grown a lot from that. I think her ball performance, the way the ball's coming out of the hand at the moment, that's really good. That's probably something that she lost a little bit throughout the home series here, just with the amount of T20 cricket played. But I think it's coming out really nice, got really nice shape on the ball. I actually think she's a great matchup to Sophia Dunkley from the English side. So I'm hoping that's a matchup that I get to see earlier rather than later with Fran has been taking the new ball and Dunkley has been opening the batting, so I hope it's a short stay for Dunkley. But I really like the look at Eden Carson as well. I think there's a lot to like there. I've actually known Eden since she was a real youngster. Like, you think, you know, she's still young now, but I think I first came across her when she was maybe 11 or 12 playing under 14s cricket. And yeah, she's always been a gun fielder. She's always hit the ball pretty crisply as well for a little dot and always been able to spin the ball. So I think for having spin bowlers, slow bowlers on your side, anyone who's got the ability to really get the ball off straight, I think is a massive asset. And I really like the pace she bowls at as well, ability to get up, you know, 85, 86 kilometres an hour, I think is a real asset in the women's game. So yeah, I think she's got a really bright future. She is one that she tends to like the challenge as well, getting knocked around a bit. And I think as a spinner, you have to relish that and know that's when you get into the contest. So yeah, I've got big raps on her. I'm really excited to see how her career develops. Hopefully I can throw a couple of tidbits in here and there and help her out as well. And Izzy Gaze, yeah, I think she's probably got the most work of the three at the moment to do, but that's also just on the back of how little domestic cricket she's played. I think she's played under two seasons of domestic cricket. So, yeah, there's lots to like. I think she's got a hard task in having to pick all Merle Kerr's variations. There's some batters around the world that have been playing Merle for the last 5 or 6 years who still haven't got a clue when it's the wrong one. So, yeah, Izzy's definitely got her work cut out with that. But she's a good kid. She's got a really good work ethic around, you know, just wanting to get better. She's pretty hungry to do that. Loves spending a lot of time with the gloves on, loves asking questions. She's constantly in your ear asking about stuff, talking cricket, which is great from any young player. She was involved in a couple of the camps over the summer and me standing at first slip, she was just basically talking my ear off about the tactics and thoughts and the pitch and everything that she could get her hands on in terms of information, she was after it. So you love to see that from a young player, and I'm sure she'll develop pretty quickly as well now that she's got a good support structure around her and a lot of coaches to invest in. So it's going to be a big ask. It definitely is. There's going to be some days where it doesn't go well. There's going to be some situations for these youngsters that they haven't come across before, but sometimes that nice, youthful naivety is actually not a bad thing to have in some pressure moments either.
Frankie, first assignment for Ben Sawyer, the new head coach out of the Australian side, of course. What are you hearing? I imagine you're in a little bit of contact. The group look happy at the moment because winners do grin, as we say, but what are you hearing about Ben Sawyer's influence in the team early on?
Yeah, pretty positive, to be fair. I think the thing that I really like with Ben, and I'd heard from a couple of the girls, he's a pretty straight talker, and having had a couple of conversations with him on the phone, I can absolutely confirm that is the case. There I'm sure will be moments where that real brutal honesty, that real straight talking probably won't be overly appreciated at all times by some players, but I think it's really refreshing for someone to come in and not know a lot of people's backstories and the histories of I guess who they are as a person and what they've been through, and to just be able to talk pretty factually about their cricket and their skills and where they're at, where they need to get to, I think will be really useful for this team. He seems like he's very analytical, loves having data, loves having the numbers to go alongside things. So I know he's working a lot closer with video analysts, performance analysts than his predecessor Bob Carter was. And I actually think it's worked out really nice to have the continuity of Bob keeping on as an assistant coach. He loves getting on the flinger in the net, so I'm sure he'll be piling hours and hours of work into the batters as well. And then to have Sarah McGlashan come in too as an assistant coach. She's obviously been part of the White Ferns for a long time as a player. She's been around the group with her role as the New Zealand under-19 coach as well. She's done a lot of work with the youngsters and also with the White Ferns players at camps. And she's just got a good personality, and she knows Ben really well as well from being at the Sydney Sixers when he was there. So I think it's worked out a really nice partnership between the three of them. I think maybe Ben gets perhaps a little bit much credit at the moment for how the team's trucking along. I think a lot of that work's been done over the last 12 or 18 months to get a really good, happy, healthy team culture where people are really supported and looked after. And I think you've seen that in the way that players have supported each other through some not-so-great times and enjoyed some good moments as well. So, yeah, I think he's been a really nice piece to the puzzle to add. I think him and Sophie will work exceptionally well together. They're both pretty upfront. They both want to play aggressive cricket. And, yeah, I'm excited to see where he can take this team as well. He's definitely not going to be one to take a backward step. And perhaps that little bit of Aussie attitude, that little bit of mongrel is maybe what this side needs as well.
Frankie, just finally, your first show this weekend, 7 o'clock, the Canterbury Sports Breakfast here on SENZ. What can we look forward to in episode one?
Well, we're basically just going to be championing Canterbury Sports, which of course is not going to be hard, and it's going to be excellent because, you know, I can wear my eye patch to work and not get any flack for it. I think that's going to be the most exciting thing on a Saturday morning. But we're going to try and bring you some chats with our gold medal winners, our Comm Games superstars. We've got a little bit of NPC chat coming out. The Rams have got some big games to try and make their way into the top four. We'll have a little bit of women's sport, of course, thrown in there. That's going to be something that'll be pretty constant. But yeah, we're going to try and bring you a bit of anything and everything that's going on Canterbury sport from the club level through secondary schools, women's sport, men's sport. There'll be some big names thrown in there as well, some legends of the game. And of course, there'll be lots of my thoughts as well, which really, of course, will be why everyone's tuning in.
And that's been very good too in the last 20 minutes, I must say. Frankie Mackay, it's always a pleasure talking to you. It was always a pleasure working alongside you in the commentary box, actually. Love your thoughts and love your forthrightness. So good luck with the show, and we'll catch up shortly. Thanks, Frankie.
Thanks, Billy.